Hello, everybody. Hi. My name is Lawrence Banks, and this is the BSL Deaf Stream. And we've got two things this afternoon. So first of all, we've got an interview with Susan Myatt. Then I will give my presentation. Okay. So is everybody able to hear the voice? Are you all happy with the voiceover? So I'm going to ask Susan to come and join me. You'll be interested to know that Susan is deaf, and we're going to interview her. And my first question is to ask you, Susan, how did God call you to be a minister in the church, to train as a minister in the church? That's a really good question. So now Sue is speaking. Like when I gave this as testimony, this story earlier yesterday, I went on a bit, so I'm going to try and cut it down. But, you know, deaf people do tend to go on a bit. So I first encountered God when I was at boarding school. But at that time, in deaf education, we weren't really allowed to sign. We had to be oral, we had to lip read, and we had to learn to speak. If we were caught signing, we had the ruler on our hands, often. And at that time, I would visit a hearing church. And I didn't understand everything, but there was something that resonated with my spirit. You know, something inside. I didn't understand what it meant, but there was definitely a feeling. It was warmth, it was peace. I don't know how to explain it, but it was a love of the Bible, the love of church, something that was just in my spirit. I didn't fully understand it. The school closed down and I moved to a hearing school. And at that time I was searching for a church to attend. It was very difficult. If I went to a church and I said, oh, I'm deaf, they'd immediately gather around me to pray for me to become hearing. Oh, we'll pray that you become hearing. If I went to a different church and I said, oh, I'm deaf, they'd say, oh, well, you know, you've sinned, or your family has sinned. Who sinned that you're deaf? And that made me feel worthless. It made me feel rejected. Let's wait for a few more people to come in. That's all right. And I felt like giving up church. But still there was this something inside me, right in my gut, that said I should carry on and I wanted to meet God. Now I used to see hearing people who were Christians and it seemed that the light just shone out of them. And I accepted that that was normal, that hearing people had something that deaf people couldn't have. You know, it was like, oh, hearing people shone with the Spirit, but not deaf people. In 1996, I had a traumatic year. My marriage broke up, my father died, my house was repossessed. It was an awful time. And I felt really sad and depressed. I couldn't cope. I felt I wanted to help ask God, but I didn't know how to approach him. I felt lost and lonely. And my two children at that time went to church, to Sunday school. And one day the teacher asked them, where's your mum? And so they came home and said, Mummy, 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 please come to church. Oh, great. I didn't want the pain, I didn't want the rejection, I didn't want that stress, really. But I went for them. And back was that resonance, that something inside me that made me just weep for joy, just I'd missed that sense of being in church. I wasn't sad. I was weeping for joy at that time. It was just, that was what I was looking for. That's what I had missed, that relationship with God that just had gone somewhere else. Now, I have to tell you that I went to that church, but I never told them I was deaf. I kept it to myself. I wouldn't tell them because I was scared of rejection. I wanted to be equal with hearing people, and so I just put up with not understanding. And then I went to college that same year. I went to college to learn to become an accountant. And I won the Best Student Award, which was amazing for me. It was a cheque for £100. It's very nice. And the firm gave me a job as an accountant. And then college encouraged me to learn how to teach sign language and to get a teaching certificate. So my tears turned to joy. My mourning turned to joy. What a change around. My whole life began to change. So in my first class, two students came to me, and you'll never guess where they came from. They came from the hearing church that I was going to. And they both said, "We never knew you were deaf." And I said, "No, I kept it quiet." I didn't want to tell. But we started a relationship, and the relationship started to blossom. And they taught me, and I taught them, and we began to respect and learn from each other. I wasn't yet fully confident, but my confidence was beginning to grow. I started a sign worship group because God seemed to be prodding me in that direction. And then came that call to be an ordained minister. And I went, uh-oh, no, I don't think so. Look, for a start, I'm deaf. And I'm not, a minister is hearing. I can't possibly be a minister. And then I got an invitation to attend a deaf church. I'd never heard of a deaf church before. That was fascinating. I went. And it was full of deaf people who were exactly the same as me. And the spirit was moving. And I thought, oh, wonderful. That's where I need to be. But I still didn't quite know what the next step for me would be. So 6 months later, I was invited to go on to a course called the Church College's Certificate in Ministry in BSL, in British Sign Language. And when I arrived, I realised all the other students were also deaf, and they were signing about theology. Our assessments were in sign language, not written. And my whole life changed. One of my tutors was Jill, who's doing the voiceover today. She's blooming strict, I tell you that. She is. But it was amazing, amazing experience. My whole life just changed with that course. And I realised where I had to go for my next step. I had two routes open to me, the Church of England or Baptist Church. I was a member of both churches. But in the end, I went down the Baptist route. I remember that the journey was like a dream. Surely they won't accept me, I thought. Surely they won't invite me. Surely not. I remember a lot of self-examination going on at that time. I'm deaf. I have a deaf identity. I have deaf culture. And I've learned so much. And I'm proud of being deaf. He created me as a deaf person. There's nothing to be ashamed of is in being deaf. And I started becoming more assertive and more accepting of my deafness. Still, my confidence was growing. I never dreamed that he had a plan for me and that my life would turn around so dramatically. When I arrived at the interview panel for the Baptist ministry, I thought, oh, they'll never ask me. They'll never agree to me training. And I got the letter of acceptance. And then the Baptist college accepted me for training. I couldn't believe it. I kept thinking, what, me? They want me. It was just a complete turnaround. Amazing. So that's my journey so far. But now I'm at the Baptist College, and I have a new work placement in a big church, a hearing church, mainstream church, and I'm going to have to rely on God an awful lot. But the studying at college is really hard, because of course it's all in English, but I have a really good relationship with the teachers and the students, and they help me a lot, and they support me in my study. I've got two interpreters, I'm a note taker, and there's a student here today, yay! Who's on my course. It's lovely, I didn't realise he was coming. And my vision for the future is empowerment for deaf people, for deaf people to become church leaders. And to say, why not? Deaf people and hearing people should be working together in partnership in the future. And who knows what God's plan is for the future of the church. But that's my dream, that deaf people will become empowered to be leaders. Thank you. Thank you, Susan, for your... So here is my topic for now. How can the local church empower deaf disciples? Deaf Christians, whatever. It's a big question. And really, that question has been part of my life. You know that Christ gives us power to do his work. And through his Christ's death, resurrection, life, death, and resurrection, he has brought us out of darkness into light. It is clear Christ empowers us. That's very clear. It is God's kingdom. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Yeah, that's the gospel. And that's for everyone. But what about the local church? So how does the empowerment offered by the local church compare to the empowerment offered by Christ? Well, it's rather different, isn't it? I've been a Christian for 33 years, and it's been a long journey, and during that time I've gone around and visited various ministries, various churches, Pentecostal, Evangelical, Church of England, Methodist, Baptist, whatever, and I feel sometimes like a honeybee, you know, buzzing around the place, just like the picture on the screen, a little honeybee. I've a degree in theology, which I finished 5 years ago, and it was hard. I agree with Susan, you know, trying to do it through interpreters. I know how Sue feels. That's really hard. She has my full sympathy. But it was worth it. And through it, when I look at scripture, I find that Paul is the best person for me when it comes to thinking about how the church should think about disability. So others might prefer other writers in the Bible, but for me, Paul clearly has important things to say. I'll give you one example, a very simple example. Now you are the body of Christ. Paul wrote this. Now you are the body of Christ. Each one of you is a part of it. 1 Corinthians 12, verse 27. And Paul empowered the Gentile Christians to feel they were part of the body of Christ. Maybe at that time the Gentiles felt they weren't quite as good as the Jews or whatever, you know. Maybe they, within the Christian church, maybe they felt rather disempowered. But Paul is saying to them, no, you're all equally the body of Christ. Just hold those words, and the most important word there, or the two most important words, now you are, now you are. And I'm sure you know quite a lot about Paul's theology. I would like to encourage you to look at some some passages. I'm not going to do a deep exposition of Paul's writings. But Paul says, a body is one unit, but made up of many parts. There are different parts in the body. Each part belongs to the body. But these are all from 1 Corinthians 12. So you can't cut your fingers off and say they still belong to the body. They don't. And each part is not the whole body. If the body was just a hand, if I was just standing here as a huge hand or a huge eye, it would be ludicrous. We all have different parts of the body. And each part needs the other. Verse 21 says each part needs each other. You can't say, oh, because I'm just a hand, I don't need you, you're an eye, or whatever. You can't do that. And this is a strong verse, I think. The weaker and the stronger parts are compatible. They belong together. They're in God's plan. God designed the body. 1 Corinthians 12, verse 18 says that we are part of God's plan. We are his handiwork, if you like. It's important to know that. And Paul saw that God blessed the weaker parts of the body. Not just the special people, but people. It's different from the way society thinks, because society would say, oh, God blesses those who are rich or powerful, but Paul seems to be saying, no, those who have to rely on God more, those who are weaker, are more blessed. And so maybe that's the people who are disabled, people who are marginalised. And we need to listen to those people. And when we listen to those people, there will be growth in the church. That's a big challenge for us, I think. So do Christian churches undermine the gospel for deaf or disabled people? Many theologians who work with deaf and disabilities disagree and agree with that statement that sometimes the church does undermine the gospel for disabled people. But we remember that there is always hope. We have the Christian hope to which we're called. And we know that in this life there might be struggles, but the reason we're here is to hold on to that hope and to increase that hope in us, so that our hope will be improved, increased, as we long for the hope of eternity. Sometimes you meet people and they're absolutely amazing to talk to, and they're a real good model of how people should behave. They're worth recording. And then sometimes you read about people who have no understanding, and they have an idea of the Bible that maybe isn't right. And there are references to deafness and blindness in the Bible, but often people take them out of context. And we have to be careful. Just let's think about the Bible for a minute. Let's think about theology. You know that the Protestant churches tend to, the evangelical churches especially, tend to have a more of authoritarian view of the Bible, in that they say, well, it is the word of God, it is our authority. But sometimes that can tend towards legalism as well. They take a literal view of the Bible, and that can happen. They say, well, you know, have that, have that, have that, this is what the Bible says, and it's fine, but just sometimes it can be maybe not right, or can be just taken too far. But then at the other end, you have the kind of people who say, oh, that, you know, everything in the Bible needs to be taken metaphorically. It's just kind of a picture of how we should be. It's a symbolic thing. It doesn't really affect our everyday life. And so you've got those two poles, if you like, and the whole range in between. So theology is important. We need to be encouraged to think through how we use biblical material to support deaf and disabled people in their struggle, how we interpret it. And thank God for this conference, as it helps us to learn those kind of things. It's important. I feel that God has provided this, and that the word for this time is prophetic. If the time is here and now for this sort of conference to happen. Sorry. Interpreter had a little frog then. now you're just copying. So, interpretation of the Bible is an issue, and I'm sure you're all aware of this issue, how careful we need to be. We also need to think that church leaders can read something like, oh, you are one body of Christ, therefore you need to be together, therefore to have separate churches for separate people is wrong. And I remember once upon a time that was my theology. And then when I went through my theological training, I was less sure about this idea that integration, that everybody should be in the same church, was really the right answer. And we know that when Jesus comes again, and we don't know when that will be, but when the time is right, and that's not yet, clearly, Jesus would say, do you remember Jesus sometimes in the Bible said, oh, my time is not yet? Do you remember that? And the words of scripture, or sometimes he said, today in your hearing the words of scripture are being fulfilled. So he knew very well what was the now and not yet. And it's important that we get hold of this too. Do you know the parable of the kingdom? He often talked in parables about the kingdom. For example, the parable of the seed. You know, the seed that is planted. It's already in the ground. It's arrived in the ground, but it's not yet fully grown. So you've got the now and the not yet, and that's like the kingdom. It is growing within us. It is here, but it's not yet fully here. So for all of us, we know that one day there will be that time when we're amazingly together. There's a story also of the two sons. Do you remember the parable of the two sons where the youngest one went off and squandered his father's wealth, you know, in reckless living, went off and had a party, and all the money went, and he was left bereft and thought, oh, my father lives in a comfortable house. I will get up and go back to my father. And did he have this vision of a father that said, oh, I told you this would happen. Go away, never darken my door. No, he went back and the father ran towards him and embraced him as his own. So the younger son didn't really know his father well, if he had that idea. But then later he knew his father. He had experienced his father. It's the same. You know, the older son saw the party going on and felt really fed up. I've been here, I've been working for you all these years, la-di-la-di-la, you've never given me a party. And the father says, you know, all I have is yours. And the older son also didn't know the father well. We need to learn to know the father. We need to go walk in step with his time. Wait for his now. No. Wait till he goes, now is the moment. Off you go. and be aware of the not yet. So there was a time when deaf people were told by church leaders they had to go and attend a hearing church, close their deaf churches, and go and worship with hearing people. Those deaf people, many of them, had a deeply felt deaf culture, deaf identity and language, and felt disempowered by worshipping in a church that was so focused on English language and singing and speaking. They felt they couldn't take part, they couldn't participate equally, and felt brokenhearted that they had to do that. So remember, there is the now and the not yet. And sometimes we get it wrong. Sometimes we go ahead of God. Sometimes we don't follow what God is saying to us. We must be aware of how the Holy Spirit is working in our lives and how he will take us through that process to the now. Now, some deaf people, when that happened, were very happy to integrate into mainstream churches. They felt maybe they had good English skills, or they were partially hearing. They could cope in that environment, and the Spirit was working in that. So I'm not saying that it was a wrong thing to happen. I'm just saying for some deaf people, it was a devastating moment. We have to learn to understand God's kingdom. We know one day, in the end time, when we will all be together, we know that that will be a moment when there will be no difference of language, no difference between us. But right now we're in this struggle to reach that point, but it's going to be always a struggle between the now and not yet. And it needs sensitivity and wisdom and a willingness to go through that process and not to jump. You know, and some people will go through that faster than others. So I've laboured this a bit, but you know what I'm saying. It's important to step in time with God's kingdom and what he wants. Someone told me deaf people should go into mainstream churches. Maybe 3 weeks in the month and then once a month in the deaf church. Well, I said it depends how confident people feel, doesn't it? Some deaf people don't feel confident. They're not yet at that point where they want to be. Sometimes we have that opportunity. So, for example, we've had 3 deaf people baptised in the hearing church, and they asked, should deaf people be baptised in a separate service? Well, let's check with them. Let's ask them. So I talked to the 3 deaf people who want to be baptised. Do you want to be baptised in the mainstream church, or do you want a separate service for you? And they said, no. We want to be in with the main church. We can't make rules about it. We can't say all deaf people must do this or all deaf people must do that. We must be prepared to go with what the Spirit is doing and what people want to do individually. It is God's kingdom. It is he who is in control. It's really important. Donald McGovern, I don't know if you know, is a missionary in India. And he set up a church there. Not like a Western church, an indigenous Indian church, Christian church. Because if he set it up like a Western church, the community would feel cut off. And therefore a good community would be destroyed. So if he was wise, and so as a first step, he set up something in a tribal language, and to teach about Christ. And then later, some of those people wanted to see how the West worshipped, and so they would attend some of the Western churches and to go and see. And they'd say, well, would it be right if we go and have a look? And then some of them might choose to go to a more Western church to worship. But the point is, nothing was imposed upon them. It's a lovely model. It's about taking what's indigenous, taking what's local. I like that model. And I think it's very similar to a deaf experience because, you know, the needs of deaf people are many and diverse. Some deaf people can speak well, some deaf people can't. Some deaf people can write English really well, some deaf people can't. But, you know, all these people are deaf, but their needs, their individual personalities and their individual skills are many and various. So we need to think, how do we empower, how do we support the local church? Let's have a look. These are just a few examples, of course, of how to empower deaf people. Obviously, through worship. Using visual worship, like on a screen or sometimes. Deaf people worshipping in their own language. It's important to encourage people to choose, people to worship as they want to. So there are a variety of models that we could look at, and in history these models have been used at different times, so it depends really where you're coming from denominationally. So just giving a couple of examples here. So I go to a Baptist church, but it's in partnership with the Church of England, and we have there a signed service on the second Sunday of the month. And they have a service also at that church on the other Sundays. So most of the deaf people go to the signed service, but sometimes they'll go to the mainstream service. So they can kind of come and go. So they can experience both. Some deaf people prefer the signed mainstream church, and some deaf people prefer their own act of worship that is run in BSL. I know there are other churches where people might go to a signed service three Sundays of a month, and then to the hearing church, the mainstream church, once a month. But that suits their environment. Ours is every 2 weeks. You know, it really depends on the local need. There aren't any rules, but this seems to work as a model quite nicely. The most important thing is to consider, how does a local church give empowerment? Mainly they can give it through choice. Not imposing anything on a deaf congregation, but saying you can go wherever you're comfortable, whatever you want to do is what's important. I work with Jill, and we work for an organisation called GoSign. See the logo up in the top there. And part of our work is to campaign, to give awareness to the local church about how deaf people can, how their needs can be met and how they can be part of the local church. So I can't show the video, but I want to share a different example. I went to Africa a few years ago as a mission trip. So they invited me to go and preach at a huge church in Kenya, Mombasa. It was a mixture of deaf and hearing people. I think there were about 200 deaf people, and I don't know how many hundreds of hearing people. Hundreds. And it was interesting. I need to explain it kind of shows me what different models of church can do. So this, the model I've explained about sometimes in an integrated church and sometimes having their own sign service, and sometimes deaf people led the service in the integrated church. So, and sometimes we invited the hearing people to come and lead our service. So, you know, there are different ways of integrating. It doesn't always have to be deaf people integrating with hearing. It can be hearing people integrating with deaf people. And all these arguments about you shouldn't be separate. Well, we don't feel separate. We just feel that we want to worship in our own language so we can develop our own discipleship, so that we can join with a hearing, a majority culture church, on a more equal footing. One hearing pastor said to me, you're trying to separate the church. And I said, no, I'm not. I don't know where your understanding comes from. How can we grow as disciples if we can't do that in our own language? We don't have time to question. We don't have time to learn if we don't have our own chances of meeting in fellowship with each other. So, I went to Mombasa, and there were about 600 people there, and the entire service was led by deaf people. And there was no music. They used African drumming. It was amazing. They used African dance. And hearing people joined in as well. And it was, and nobody was just a spectator. It just flowed. I can't sing. I couldn't even sign. I just gazed on it because it was such a powerful experience. I felt the presence of God just there, amazingly. And at the same time, I was kind of nervous that I had to preach as well. So thank God there was some good worship to help me along with that. But they don't do it every Sunday like that. Sometimes they do separate church services, sometimes they come together. So it's a kind of dynamic model that is very flexible. And sometimes the leader is a hearing person, sometimes it's a deaf person, sometimes it's a bilingual provision with two pastors working together. And sometimes in the hearing church, you know, things move on a pace, and we have to say, no, hold on a minute, the deaf haven't got it yet, and they go, hold on, let's wait a minute, right, let's get going, once deaf people go. So it's about empowerment. So I want to encourage you. Your local church can empower deaf people by giving them the whole range of choices, through listening to them, through learning their ways, and respecting those ways. That's empowerment. And I'm sure deaf people will feel included and empowered if we do that. Let's not lay down any rules. If the rules are laid down, then I don't know where the empowerment is. Do you see what I mean? So it's important to be sensitive to the local situation. So, and finally, and in summary, remember, it is God's kingdom work. Amen.
Oh, no.
Do we know what time we're supposed to be back in the main session?
3 o'clock.
3 o'clock is refreshment. Yeah. So we have time for questions. If anybody has any questions or comments, or either Laurie or Sue.
So I'm just wondering whether where there's going to be a choice of it, how well that would scale. Is it something you'd expect that every church would try and offer, or is it something where churches might work together within a town or a city?
That's a very good question, thank you. That's a challenging question, isn't it? I know that every church It's not easy for every church to offer this kind of choice to deaf people. You know, some churches maybe have a very strong structure, they're quite formal, and it's maybe difficult to give that kind of choice. But I think we have a gospel imperative to challenge that, because people use that to say we can't. But we should still challenge every single church to think, how can they support deaf people? And all people. Really, it's about inclusion. Thank you. It's a good question there. Any other questions?
Back
here. Yep, thank you.
Just wondering about those people who later in life become hard of hearing or deaf, and how the church ensures that they're included as well.
It's the dance of the interpreter. Mm-hmm.
You get paid for that as well.
Thank you for that. That's an important question as well. So people who are born deaf, or people who have acquired deafness later, there are organisations around that are specific for those people. Organisation like Open Ears is a Christian organisation aimed at people who are hard of hearing. They're very supportive to those people who have lost their hearing, have acquired hearing loss. Maybe they have a good voice, they speak well. This organisation, Go Sign, is more focused on sign language using deaf people, more culturally deaf people. Although we're always happy to support and signpost people to the right organisation.
Can I ask whether you mentioned normal church and you mentioned deaf church. Are members of the normal church sometimes invited to the deaf church? The reason I ask that, this morning I was extremely moved at the worship to look to my right to see the people signing along as we were singing. And that was truly a touching moment, a God moment.
That's interesting. Yes, a church leader said to me recently, it's a little bit naughty really. I found it easy to follow the service in your church than in his church. I followed the deaf sign language easier than, because the message is easy to remember. Normally, people just preach their heads off, and it goes one ear in, one ear and out the other. Not very easy. So, yeah, interesting. Yes. It's powerful. So the deaf community can offer something to the wider church.
Very interested in this, because I sit at the back of our church. I choose to be at the back, not made to, but I realise that people who have hearing aid, and sometimes two hearing aids now, are not hearing. So how do you convince your congregation who read and who preach to talk into the microphone? I sit at the back and I can feel myself getting, I can't stand this, I'm going to say, put the microphone in the right place. Because before I do my reading, my husband stands at the back of church and I practice, and he tells me off if I don't do it. So I really worry. This is why I've come to hear you. Because I just somehow want to convince people how important it is to have the freedom to worship and hear the Mass or whatever your service is. So how do you do that?
Electric shock
door cover. Shoot them, I said. Yes, exactly. Are you allowed
allowed to tell me. I have been asked. Okay, I'm going to speak and then I'll sign it. Is that all right? No, it's not rubbing that. It's all right. No, it's fine. I'll tell them, then I'll sign it. Just to say that I always say to church leaders, who has to change? Deaf people can't suddenly become hearing. And deaf people cannot learn to be hearing. So if they can't hear, it's no good you saying, well, they should sit near the front. I'm sorry.
Or turn the microphone on.
It's not working. It's not my fault. I'll do my best. Thank you very much. That's better. To say, you know, church leaders do say to me, well, the problem with the deaf, is they always sit at the back. No, I'm sorry. It's about choice. If a person wants to sit at the back, they should be allowed to sit at the back. But you should speak so clearly, it doesn't matter where in church they sit. It has to be our job. And I'm a church leader. It has to be our job to ensure we're heard. And that makes sure that the technology works, that the loop is switched on, that you're using the microphone, and you speak clearly. Do you understand that? Do I need something else?
Thank you very much. I should tell my church leader.
May I add? Sorry, just responding to your thing.
Sorry, you do need that because of the loop. Yeah.
Sorry, have worked on the PA. I have a sister who's deaf, and I preach. Get someone in to train. Get someone on your PA to come in. Have an evening where everyone has to speak into the microphone, the readers and the prayers and everybody. I would also strongly encourage a headset microphone because it is much, much easier to speak into a headset while you look around. Anyway, that's helped in our church.
Thank you very much.
This one's really for Susan because she's sitting there doing not a lot at the moment. We do know each other, by the way. Susan's got two very good signers at college who are both Christian. Now, I'm just wondering what a difference it makes to Susan when she's trying to evangelise or talk theology if she's got a secular signer who doesn't really fully understand the concept.
I feel it's really important to have a Christian interpreter. It's really helpful to me because they know the words, they know the vocabulary. In my first year, I had two interpreters who didn't know the vocabulary, and they struggled so much. And bless them, they tried, but they couldn't do it. They couldn't do it. I didn't receive as much as I should. So I think it's important that the Christian interpreters are professional. That the professional interpreters are Christian. But at the same time, those secular interpreters can be changed by doing that kind of work and handling biblical material all the time. We have to remember that. Yes, I normally prefer Christian interpreters, normally. But that doesn't stop me asking, if there are no Christian interpreters available, I'll ask a non-Christian to interpret. Because, you know, it's an opportunity to get at them with the gospel, isn't it? And actually, you know, why not? But yes, generally I agree with Susan that you need people who understand. Okay, so thank you for listening and thank you for your questions and have a good break now. We'll have a little bit of an early break, you know.